Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 46 through 55 together. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, grant us your spirit that we may understand and truly obey your word of truth. Soften our hearts and draw us to yourself and teach us by your spirit. And through the power of your spirit, shine a spotlight on our Savior, just as you did in the story that we read earlier this morning. And may we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do ask that you'd open our hearts, that we may love what you command and desire what you promise. And set us free from any pride or distraction, that we might receive the promise of your grace. And fill our hearts with worship and wonder through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So before I begin this morning, normally I wouldn't do this, but I happened to wake up feeling very ill this morning. And so I noticed during worship I was feeling a little bit dizzy and wobbly. So I'm going to do my best, but I'm only mentioning this because I'll probably have to read a little bit more than I normally do, just because things are not as focused as they normally are. So I just ask for your grace and your understanding, and I appreciate that. "This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, how you respond internally to that passage and that call most likely has something to do with your present circumstances. Perhaps this morning you are truly experiencing a sense of joy. But perhaps this morning you are experiencing very difficult circumstances, and so the call to rejoice is difficult. Or, like what I hope to share with us this morning, perhaps you are experiencing a real sense of joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Because as we celebrate this season of Advent, as we talk about themes of peace, hope, love, and joy, at the same time, for some of us, that creates in us a heightened awareness of that which in our life that is difficult, or a heightened awareness of the struggles that we're currently facing. And so as we talked about and looked at themes that we wanted to discuss through an Advent series of joy, we didn't want to leave out the fact that there's also struggle, with the hope of sharing the good news that there is profound joy, even in the midst of difficult circumstances and struggle. And this morning for our passage, we read what's called or referred to as Mary's song. And it's a beautiful response of a young girl's profound faith and trust. And one of the unique features of Luke's gospel is the investigative interviews that he did with firsthand witnesses of Jesus' life and ministry. And Luke's ultimate goal with this is that we would have certainty concerning the things that we have been taught. And it is likely and believed that Mary herself was a primary source for the material that Luke is writing. So what we're reading here is Mary's account of her experiences. And Luke has also gone to great lengths to provide us with some of the intimate details that preceded what we call the Christmas story. What is the background for all that we are going to celebrate and remember come Tuesday? And Mary's story begins with an angel appearing to her. The angel Gabriel, with his message to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Luke records that at this greeting, Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And Gabriel comforts Mary and tells her not to be afraid and explains to her the details of how she is to conceive and give birth to the Messiah, that God is fulfilling his promise. God himself is coming to dwell with his people. And to all of this, Mary responds with a remarkable sense of confidence and trust by saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then we are told that the angel departed, and then everything had come to pass just as Gabriel had said. And even reading through the story last night, I was struck by the remarkable sense of faith that Mary demonstrated. Mary, likely somewhere in her early teens, is joyfully accepting the call of God for her life, even though it entirely disrupts all of her plans. So, what I hope to share with you this morning is that joy, the type of joy that Mary expressed in this song that we read, is a grounded confidence in the goodness of God that is regardless of any circumstances that we might be facing. And if we look at some of the events that took place at just a little bit before and a little bit after the song that we read, it is readily apparent that for Mary, this was not an easy call. This was difficult. This was hard. There was real struggle associated with this call in her life. Mary became pregnant in a legally binding engagement, breakable only by divorce. And any sexual relations during this period were considered to be immoral, and thus Mary's pregnancy exposed both her and Joseph to ridicule and shame. Mary's pregnancy either appeared to be the result of adultery or sexual immorality. She went and immediately spent 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth, and after the fourth month, Mary was found to be with child. So basically, this was discovered. And when it's discovered, her betrothed husband, Joseph, assumes the child is a result of adultery. And we can infer this because he resolves to divorce her quietly, hoping to save her from the shame and protect her from the consequences of adultery. Matthew tells us that as he considered this, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and assures him that this child is of God and tells him to take Mary as his wife. And so we see faith and trust on the part of Joseph as well. And then late into her pregnancy, Mary is forced to travel to respond to a Roman census. When Jesus is taken to the temple to be presented to the Lord, Mary and Joseph are met there by a righteous and devout man named Simeon, who through the Holy Spirit blessed the child and his parents, and then turning to Mary, he said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon's words speak to the suffering that Mary will face during the trial and crucifixion of her son. Then the life of her child is sought after by a malicious king. And so she and her husband are forced to flee their home into a foreign land. And when King Herod realizes that he has been tricked, he is furious. And he orders that all male children in Bethlehem and the surrounding region, 2 years and under, be killed. And as I was reading that, I was like, could you imagine the survivor's guilt that Mary felt? Now, I understand I'm speculating there. I understand I'm inserting my own human emotions in there. But I think it's important to remember that Mary was human and that she experienced these emotions and the griefs and the sorrows just as we do, as well as the struggle. Woven throughout this infancy narrative and the Christmas story is both joy and struggle. The profound sense of joy that Mary expressed in her song is not absent from real struggle. And I wonder if Mary had any sense of what was awaiting her when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So Mary's story is a story of great struggle that often accompanies the response to God's call. Well, Mary's song is reflective of the profound joy that we experience in the midst of that struggle. Again, drawing your attention back to the interviews and the research that Luke did to offer us a firsthand account of what took place. So this joy that Mary is recounting is still a very real experience for her later in life. And this is what I am referring to as the joy of humble obedience. I don't think that there's any real need to dig deep and define struggle. I think it's enough to agree that at certain points we all experience seasons of struggle. We experience differing degrees of struggle. This could be financial. It could be the transition of an aging parent into a nursing facility. It could be dealing with sickness or injury, job loss, unemployment, broken relationships with our family or estranged children, depression and feelings of inferiority or loneliness. And the list could go on. But real struggle that we face, we all experience this in some way. And I want us to take a look at struggle, and I'll say this briefly, I want us to take a look at struggle because we so often mistakenly associate God's will with ease or leisure. And then when life gets difficult and we experience real struggle, we wonder and we question. Our circumstances and struggles sometimes put a seed of doubt into our mind. God, where are you? Suddenly, we're uncertain, questioning God and wondering if we are really in His will for our lives. Perhaps we've missed something or made a tragic mistake. And during this week, as I have spoken with others about the sermon and the theme for the sermon and some of the topics that we were going to discuss, many spoke those very words. They told me seasons of life, seasons of struggle that they went through, how those were often accompanied with a sense of doubt. God, where are you? What did I do wrong? Why is this happening? We are correct to expect to experience peace in God's will, but we often imagine that peace to be without struggle. Now, sometimes this struggle is the result of misplaced affections. Sometimes this struggle is the result of our human struggle to pursue joy apart from God. Sometimes the struggle is a result of the exchange of joy in our Savior for that which we can obtain under our own power and means. In other words, the affections of our heart and that which we desire and love, these affections are directed towards someone or something other than God that we hope will bring us lasting joy. But for many of us, the struggle is what we experience as we are pursuing God's will for our life. This is why I call it the joy of humble obedience. So how do we experience profound joy in the midst of struggle? Now, to begin, I want to say that joy is not simply an emotional response to our ever-changing circumstances. Rather, joy is the outflow of a confidence that is rooted in the goodness of God that transcends our present circumstances. Joy is also grace in the form of a command. The call to rejoice, similar to the call that I spoke when we began, is reflective of a state of being more than an experience. And within the Hebrew understanding of joy is the idea of choice, that we choose to respond in joy to our circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul calls us, and I would even say charges us, to rejoice, to be full of joy, to be joyful. We read this in chapter 4, starting with verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The charge to rejoice, as Paul is speaking that to us here, to be joyful or full of joy, is grace in the form of a command to us. In other words, God makes available to us that which our heart desires, that which we long for, through a humble recognition that God Himself is the source of all joy. And just as faith is a good gift of God's grace for our lives, so joy is given to us. And we are commanded to receive it, commanded to be joyful. The gift of joy is the gift of God Himself to us, which is why we recognize that theme of joy during the season of Advent and Christmas. Paul's command to rejoice flows from a deep contentment that is not based on his present circumstances, but is reflective of a trust that is grounded in God's sovereign goodness, similar to the trust and the faith that we saw exemplified in Mary's song and Mary's response. And because this sense of joy is not based on circumstances, it is readily available to all, regardless of what we presently face, even in difficulty and struggle. "Do not be anxious," Paul continues. It's a call to entrust our lives, our ambitions, our hopes, our desires, to God's care, to place those things in the loving hands of our Heavenly Father. And again, when Paul calls us to prayer and petition in every circumstance, every situation, such a confidence in prayer finds its foundation beyond our present circumstances, but in God Himself. And finally, in this passage, there's a promise of peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It is beyond our human understanding that even in the midst of deep struggle and difficult circumstances, that God's peace is present with us, guarding our hearts and our minds. It doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense to those observing around us. How in the midst of such difficult circumstances, how in the midst of such struggle, are you able to experience peace? How? It is through that joyful confidence, rooted in God's goodness and His care, His sovereign care for our lives. And in the Bible, there is a strong link between peace and God's presence with us. And if we look closely between the command to rejoice and the promise of peace is the presence of God. Paul says, "The Lord is near." The Lord is near. Present through the power of the Holy Spirit, the good news by the angels announced to humble shepherds. It is just as marvelous today and worthy of a heavenly choir as it was then. God has visited His people. The eternal, never-changing Emmanuel, God with us. That is the promise that brings us joy. A joy not based on circumstances. A joy in the midst of difficulty and struggle. God is with you. And this is good news of great joy. We can rejoice that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is with you. And this is good news of great joy and part of our Christian experience. Now, to close, I would like to do this. Also, something that I have become aware of in the past 2 weeks, just in passing conversations, is that for many, their experience right now, our experience, is sometimes of fatigue, weariness, struggle, perhaps doubt. But many who I've spoken with in the past 2 weeks have not described their present experience as joyful. And so what I would like for us to do, in light of that, in light of our experience, I would like to take a moment to ask you to take a deep breath and just simply listen to three passages of Scripture, three promises of God to you, wherever you find yourself, whatever the circumstances may be. These are the promises that God, present with you, where you are, is giving to you. So, please take a deep breath and just simply rest and listen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. And finally, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Our God is Emmanuel, God with us, God present with his people. And that is the promise and good news of great joy for us this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is with a sense of worship and wonder that we ask you to open our eyes this morning, to soften our hearts, and stir our amazement as we behold our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign Lord of creation. We do also ask that you would draw us to yourself in your great kindness. Grant to us joy and peace. Strengthen our faith in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be established and firm in our faith and hold fast to the hope of the gospel, to walk in joyful obedience, to experience the joy of humble obedience as we respond to your will for our lives and your call. And please do not let us walk away this morning unchanged, but grant us that grace to walk in obedience, that our lives would testify to the greatness of Jesus Christ. May we be a blessing to others, and may you be honored and glorified through all that we do. And we ask this of you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.